Athletica in Los Angeles, California. Here today on the morning of Erev Yom Kippur to talk about about what's broken. Now, there are a lot of people in the world today who would like to know that it's actually me or the Jewish people who have been broken by what's going on in the world today. The truth is that nothing has galvanized us more. Now, that being said, here's what is broken. And I hope not irreparably, because I do always maintain hatikva, the hope that our future can always be brighter than our present. What is broken today is our moral compass. The moral compass that happens to be directing the loud voices that are on our campuses, that are blocking our streets, that are destroying societies and threatening the Jewish community. The moral compass is not just shattered, but the terrorists have manipulated them to literally all point to the end of Western civilization. The hatred of Jews that has consumed so much of society that we see not only in our streets but all over the media and social media is never a good sign for the future of Western civilization. In every civilization in the history of the world that has consumed itself with anti-Semitism, it has ended by destroying itself. Because you may not think that this is your problem if you're not Jewish or you're not Israeli, but this is a societal problem. Hate is never okay. We don't condone hatred of Black people. We don't condone hatred of Asian people. We don't condone hatred of the LGBTQ plus community. We don't condone hatred of Muslims. We don't condone hatred of Christians, but somehow it's become completely normal to condone and even protect hatred of Jews. Now, I need you to really honestly and truly look at this. If you have not already looked at it, and I appreciate so much the people who have been watching and listening to my Yoga of War podcast, because you understand with and agree with the points that I make. But for those of you who are confused, and I'm not talking about those who are morally confused, because those are the ones who just fill my comments with threats of violence and threatening to kill me and better. Those are always fun. And the fact that we live in a society right now where it's become brave to speak out on behalf of Jews or Israel, a completely legitimate state, just like any other state on earth. Why do you think it is that there's one state in the entire world whose legitimacy is questioned? And it happens to be the one Jewish state that happens to be 1/500th the size of the Arab world. And the double standards are so vast and painful. The fact that UNRWA seems to be somehow the forerunner for the Nobel Peace Prize, even though it's been proven that dozens, if not hundreds, of UNRWA workers participated in the rampage of 10/7. Can we not understand how disgusting the fact that an organization that would partake in the mass murder, rape, beheading, kidnapping, burning, and worse of over 1,200 Jews and 250 more kidnapped, how that organization could possibly be even considered, much less be considered the forerunner for the Nobel Peace Prize, like, do we, is there anybody of rational mind who can look at that and not understand how broken our moral compass has become? Now, for those of you who know me as a yoga instructor, and especially those of you who have followed me for years, I hope you know about me. I am not just somebody who does handstands and backbends and contortions. I am a student of yoga. I live by the yamas and niyamas, the Ten Commandments, so to speak, of Patanjali, to an extent that I can pretty much guarantee you probably don't know anybody who's not a monk or a priest or a rabbi who lives as intentional and conscientious a life as I do. I want to say that first and foremost. And yes, that does include ahimsa, nonviolence. And I'm not gonna get into the yoga implications of this, but please, if you're not familiar, go look at my ahimsa podcast episode and my Bhagavad Gita one, so you can understand that my defense of my people is in the name of nonviolence. It is in the name of peace. And all you have to do to understand what Sam Harris so eloquently denotes as the bright line between good and evil is look at the demonstrations, look at the people. So the anti-Israel demonstrations, first of all, why are they wearing masks? Why do you think they're wearing masks? You think it's because they're afraid they're gonna get COVID in 2024 outdoors? Because I guarantee that these same kids who are wearing masks at these rallies on campus are not wearing said masks indoors in their classrooms. This is a farce of justice. And before COVID, it would have been illegal to go out masked like that. Why are they masked? They are masked because they are ashamed, because they know that what they are doing is not in the name of goodness or consciousness. To defend Hamas and Hezbollah terrorists is not social justice, and they are terrorists. This isn't Shauna Meyerson in Los Angeles saying this. This is the United States. They are designated terrorist organizations, Hezbollah and Hamas. And if you look at the atrocities they commit and you think that there's anything that is justifiable in burning and beheading an infant or murdering parents in front of their children and then going on to murder the children or dismembering a Thai worker or kidnapping a grandma, a baby. Like if you really think that there's anything that justifies these kinds of actions, again, these are just, it's such a despicable sign of how broken our societal moral compass really has become. Can you imagine after 9/11, people rampaging in the streets in support of Al-Qaeda? What would have happened? The National Guard would have been pulled in and they would have all been detained and put on a terrorist watch list. But instead, we defend them, not we meaning me, but we defend them in the name of free speech. Like, do we understand how terribly, terribly broken these double standards really are? And I do want to just reiterate, no one articulates these concepts better than Sam Harris on his Making Sense podcast. So I'm going to put some links to his podcast so you could see somebody who really, really understands and can make it so clear to you how harsh this anti-Semitism that is pervading our society and how dangerous it really is. Now, some things I want to point out, because it's Yom Kippur and because Jews all over the world are about to go into a 25-hour fast as well as a day and night of prayer and reflection. I want to talk about, especially those of you who are not Jewish, a little bit of what goes on in these kinds of services, okay? When you go to a Jewish service, what we talk about literally more than anything is shalom, is peace. And I have seen so many videos online of imams calling for the destruction of the Jewish people from their pulpit, but from a Jewish bima, all we ever talk about is peace. And it breaks my heart to listen to the prayers and the pleas because of the stark contrast and because of how little people understand of the Jewish people and of our intentions, and that sometimes you have to fight in order to maintain, or in this case, even create some sort of peace or security. Like, I want you to understand some things about prayer, that when Hamas and their friends of UNRWA and really literally just Palestinian civilians who decided to join in, plus other terrorists, invaded Israel on 10/7, right? They did it while invoking the glory of Allah, right? They scream, Allahu Akbar, right? And they are looking for the glory of God in the name of the most barbaric mass atrocities committed in the modern era. If you are not Muslim, or even if you are Muslim, because this isn't a Muslim issue, this is a radical Islam issue, I want you to take a moment and think about your God. Think about your God. And this is also one of the yogic precepts, which is that if you dedicate yourself to a life of surrendering to God and studying scripture and really that conscientious living, that theoretically in yoga, you will not be capable of committing bad deeds because you cannot commit evil while holding God in your heart. I know that's a Jewish concept, but can you imagine raping a woman and sticking a grenade inside of her while screaming Allahu Akbar or praise God? Can you imagine? Like, understand who it is that Israel is fighting against and who these mass demonstrators on our campuses and in our streets are defending. Understand the difference. And when it comes to prayer, when you go online, you'll see, if you look for it, quite a few videos of Israeli soldiers praying as well, usually the Shema prayer or similar. What are they praying for? They are praying for their protection and for the protection of their nation. Again, there is a stark difference between asking God's glory for slaughtering people in the most horrific ways imaginable and committing these savage acts of violence versus praying for peace and praying for protection. There's no compass that doesn't understand which one of those is good and which one of those is evil, which again, our compasses are so broken. This very dichotomy is so indicative of the different philosophies of these two nations, of these two forces, because Islam, and they say this out loud, again, this isn't my own thoughts or commentary. I mean, this is my commentary, but the nation of Islam, the Islamic radicals and terrorists say out loud, they value death, okay? Death is how they get to, you know, enlightenment, into heaven, to glorification. Jews value life. That is why we pray for protection and they pray for slaughter. People need to understand what we're up against. And when organizations like the BBC refuse to call Hamas and their like and Hezbollah terrorists, like, what is terror then? What is the difference between what they're doing and terror? And keep in mind that 1 year later, we still have 101 Israeli hostages and multinational hostages being held in the terror tunnels in Gaza. Every single one of those people represents a litany of Hamas war crimes. Nothing is being done about it. Not by the UN, not by the Red Cross. As if these lives don't even matter. Can you imagine this happening to any other nation and the people being ignored and the actions not even being condemned and barely even acknowledged by the United Nations? Also knowing that of these 101 hostages, at least a half are known or expected are already murdered. And even their bodies are being held captive. And there are people who are literally calling babies and grandpas and women that are in Hamas captivity as like prisoners. They're not prisoners, okay? They're hostages. They're hostages. And after people spent months tearing down the hostage posters all over the world to the point where it wasn't even worth putting them up anymore, it's like trying to erase these people's memory. What if this were your mother or father or child or grandparent or aunt or uncle? How would you want your nation to reply? Do you know how heavy-handed the response of the U.S. was after the 9/11 bombing, well, whatever, destruction of the Twin Towers? Like, are you aware of how warfare is conducted in any other war? Because yes, looking at what's happening in Gaza is horrifying. But it's because we don't have context, because again, of the double standards, because we'd never watched in real time another war. And so it all comes down to the Jews. The one tiny Jewish state. And when I look at what's happening with these pro-Hamas and pro-Hezbollah demonstrations all over our country and honestly the world, I mostly speak on behalf of the United States because it's what I'm most familiar with, but they're going out. They are destroying property. They are threatening their communities. They're inciting violence. They're disrupting traffic and commerce. And they are not peace-loving people. Now look at any pro-Israel demonstration. What you will see is not just Israeli flags, but U.S. flags or whatever other nation they happen to be in. And they are calling for peace, not destruction. And by the way, show me the Jews who are going out and destroying buildings and destroying property and destroying statues. Show me those Jews. Like, how are people looking at the rabid mobs that are intent on literally destroying not just Israel, not just the Jews, but the United States? Listen to what they're saying. These anti-Israel mobs are burning United States flags, the same flags that are flying proudly in the Jewish and pro-Israel rallies that I go to, all of them. And they always, a Jewish and pro-Israel rally always includes the U.S. national anthem. show me the anti-Israel rallies that honor this country, this great country that we live in. Which team do you honestly want to be a part of? And when I see what's going on the college campuses, my goodness, this is the future of the free world. And these universities, they no longer have any sort of plausible deniability for the way that they are failing to protect their Jews, which, by the way, is illegal under Title VI. But let's put that aside. The anti-Semitic double standards that are so persistent on campus that even after Congress has stepped in and called them out, instead of righting the wrong, they decide to double down and protect the anti-Semites. Think about it. Think about if the KKK were to march on your college campus. What would you expect the college's reaction to be? Because there's no difference between that and Hamas and Hezbollah, except I would say Hamas and Hezbollah are far, far more brutal and bloodthirsty, especially in today's rendition of who they are. But instead, when the universities have been called out, they defend their policies instead of doing what would be so much easier, which is just protect the Jews the same way that they do and would protect any other group of students on campus. And our cities are not doing any better. I live in Los Angeles, where horrifyingly, about, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago, we had a town hall meeting with Mayor Karen Bass and the LAPD to talk about the huge problem of violent anti-Semitism in our city. And their answer, their literal answer to our community was, they cannot be responsible for protecting us, and we are going to have to learn to protect ourselves. Can you imagine any other scenario where the mayor and police department of one of the largest and most influential cities in America tells the Jewish community that they cannot expect to be protected? What other group would ever be told that? And so our synagogues that have to have armed guards that I'm gonna assume your church or mosque or temple does not have, we have to train our own defense forces. That before the High Holy Days, we have to have security briefings and meetings of the community to figure out what are we going to do if someone comes into our synagogue with an AK-47 yelling Allahu Akbar. It's a situation that no one should have to be in, that nobody should have to think about when going into a place of worship. And I'm not talking about isolated incidents. I'm talking about for as many years as I can remember now, having police guarding us as we walk to temple to pray. That is very, very frightening. Again, not just as a Jew, as an American. We live in the greatest country on earth, a country built on love and tolerance and acceptance. I never thought, and I think most people in the post-Holocaust era ever thought, that we would live to see the day where we suddenly feel persecuted and threatened just for being Jews. And that it's become brave to stand up for morality because our moral compasses are all broken and nobody wants to take it back to the shop to get fixed. Last week, Coates decided that would be like really good timing to release his book, The Message, which has deeply vile and anti-Semitic tropes in it. That he has actually come out to say that if he were a Palestinian, he would partake in the atrocities of 10/7. And he's held up as a social justice warrior. Like, what kind of inverted sense of morality are we living in? Where anybody can glorify somebody who thinks that there is some sort of kindness or justice in partaking in that kind of horrifying event. And this week, being the Monday was the anniversary of 10/7, and that Jewish, but it's not just Jewish. There are people who aren't Jewish who are allies of this cause. But that all over our nation, our great nation and this world, as Jews were mourning the massacres, the 1,200 humans who were mercilessly massacred on 10/7, as they're holding vigils, the anti-Israel mobs are shouting over them. And they're shouting the slogans for the destruction of the Jewish people and the Jewish state. How is this appropriate? Who does that? When somebody is eulogizing an infant, who thinks it's appropriate to scream over them, yes, and kill all Jews? Again, I just want to remind you, what starts with the Jews never ends with the Jews. You may not think it's your problem now, but this is the world that we're living in. And if we don't find a way to clean it up, we're going to descend back into the historical depths that have always ended in the destruction of that society. As we go into Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the Jewish year, first of all, to my Jewish friends, please allow me to wish you a Gemar Chatima Tova, an easy and a meaningful fast. I know that this year will be more meaningful for most of us than any year prior. Remember that we must stand together and we must stand strong, because if we don't stand for ourselves and we do not speak up for ourselves, we have no right to expect anyone else to. It is our job to turn these violent tides of anti-Semitism. It is our job to fix these broken compasses, these moral compasses, and turn them back in the right direction. It is time for peace and tolerance. And it's time for the good people of the world to stand up and shout loudly. We need to take care of each other, no matter what color, no matter what race, no matter what religion. And yes, that includes the Jews.